Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Bhaktivedanta Sanskrit Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namachari Hari Das Thakur Ki Jai, Paramsakal Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadada, Sri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopina Shama Kunda Radha Kudi Kiti Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Samavapta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, and Gopraminandi, all glories to the Sama Devotees, all glories to the Sama Devotees, all glories to the Sama Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gurunga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Vinaya Krishna Prasthavudhi Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavari Pashtachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 50 Verse 30. Jagraha Viratam Ramo Jarasandam Mahabalam Atani Kava Sishtasam Simma Simam Iva Ujasam Jagraha. He seized Viratam, who was deprived of his chariot. Rama, Lord Balaram. Jarasandam, Jarasandha, Maha, very, Balam, strong, Hata, killed, Anika, whose army, Avashishta, remaining, Asum, whose breath, Simha, a lion, Simam, another lion, Eva, as, Ojasa, forcibly. Translation, Jarasandha, with his chariot lost and his soldiers dead, was left with only his breath. At that point, Lord Balaram forcibly seized the powerful warrior, just as one line takes hold of another. With the divine noose of Varuna and other mortal ropes, Balaram began tying up Jarasandha, who had killed so many foes. But Lord Govinda still had a purpose to fulfill through Jarasandha, and thus he asked Balaram to stop. Report the word Hata Rati means who has killed his enemies, or through whom his enemies would be killed. Now Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti has provided this thoughtful note. Jarasandha, whom fighters had highly honored, was ashamed after being released by the two lords of the universe, and thus he decided to undergo penances. On the road, however, several kings convinced him with both spiritual wisdom and mundane arguments that he should give up his idea of self-abnegation. They told him, your defeat by the Yadavs was simply the unavoidable reaction of your past karma. All his armies having been killed, and himself neglected by the personality of Godhead, King Jarasandha, son of Brihadratta, then sadly returned to the kingdom of the Magadhas. Lord Mukunda had crossed the ocean of his enemies' armies with his own military force completely intact. He received congratulations from the denizens of heaven who showered him with flowers. The people of Mathura, relieved of their feverish anxiety and filled with joy, came out to meet him as professional bards, heralds, and panegyrists sang in praise of his victory. As the Lord entered his city, conch shells and kettle drums sounded, and many drums, horns, Venus flutes, and mridangas played in concert. The boulevards were sprinkled with water. There were banners everywhere, and the gateways were decorated for the celebration. The citizens were elated, and the city resounded with the chanting of Vedic hymns. As the women of the city affectionately looked at the Lord, their eyes wide open with love, they scattered flower garlands, yogurt, parched rice, and newly grown sprouts upon him. Purport, all this is taking place as Lord Krishna entered the city of Mathura. Lord Krishna then presented to the Yadu king all the wealth that had been fallen on the battlefield, namely the countless ornaments of the dead warriors. Purport, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti adds that jeweled ornaments had also been collected from the horses and other animals. What might be added here for the sake of this squeamish is that Jarasandha came to Mathura with the clear intention of slaughtering every last man of the city, including Krishna and Balaram. It is of the causeless mercy of the Lord that he gives conditioned souls the taste of their own medicine and thus helps them become more sensitive to the laws of nature and the existence of Supreme Godhead. Ultimately, Krishna awarded Jarasandha and others killed on the battlefield spiritual liberation. The Lord is strict, but he is not malicious. In fact, he is the ocean of mercy. 17 times the king of Magadha met defeat in this very way. And yet, throughout these defeats, he fought on with his Akshauhini divisions against the forces of the Yadu dynasty, who were protected by Sri Krishna. By the power of Lord Krishna, the Vrishnis would invariably annihilate all Jarasandha's forces. And when all his soldiers had been killed, the king, released by his enemies, would again go away. Just as the 18th battle was about to take place, a barbarian warrior named Kalayavana, sent by Narada, appeared on the battlefield. Arriving at Mathura, this Yavana laid siege to the city with 30 million barbarian soldiers. He had never found a human rival worth fighting, but he had heard that the Vrishnis were his equals. Purport, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti quotes from the Vishnu Purana concerning the history of Kalayavana. Once, Gargiya was ridiculed by his brother-in-law as a eunuch, and when the Yadavas heard this, they laughed heartily. Infuriated by their laughter, Gargiya set forth for the south, thinking, "May I have a son who will bring terror to the Yadavas." He worshipped Lord Mahadev, eating powdered iron, and after 12 years obtained his desired benediction. Elated, he returned home. Later, when the childless king of the Yavanas requested a son from him, Gargiya begot in the Yavanas' wife a son, Kalayavana. Kalayavana possessed the fury of Lord Shiva in his aspect as Mahakala. Once, Kalayavana asked Narada, "Who are now the strongest kings on earth?" Narada replied that the Yadus were. Thus, sent by Narada, Kalayavana appeared at Mathura. When Lord Krishna and Lord Shankarshan saw Kalayavana, Krishna thought about the situation and said, "Oh, a great danger now threatens the Yadus from two sides." Purport, we may note here that although Sri Krishna had defeated Jarasandha 17 times against tremendous odds, he did not immediately annihilate the army of Kalayavana, thus keeping intact the benediction granted to Gargi by Lord Shiva as explained in the previous purport. This Yavana is besieging us already, and the mighty king of Magadha will soon arrive here. If not today, then tomorrow or the next day. If powerful Jarasandha comes while we two are busy fighting Kala Yavana, Jarasandha may kill our relatives or else take them away to his capital. Therefore, we will immediately construct a fortress that no human force can penetrate. Let us settle our family members there and then kill the barbarian king. After thus discussing the matter with Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a fortress 12 yojanas in circumference built within the sea. Inside that fort he had a city built containing all kinds of wonderful things. In the construction of that city could be seen the full scientific knowledge and architectural skill of Vishwakarma. There were wide avenues, commercial roads, and courtyards laid out on ample plots of land. There were splendid parks and also gardens stocked with trees and creepers from the heavenly planets. The gateway towers were topped with golden turrets touching the sky, and their upper levels were fashioned of crystal quartz. The gold-covered houses were adorned in front with golden pots and on top with jeweled roofs, and their floors were inlaid with precious emeralds. Beside the houses stood treasury buildings, warehouses, and stables for fine horses, all built of silver and brass. Each resident had a watchtower and also a temple for its household deity. Filled with citizens of all four social orders, the city was especially beautified by the palaces of Sri Krishna, the Lord of the Yadus. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the state highways were in front and the secondary roads behind, and between them were courtyards. Within these courtyards were surrounding walls, and within the walls stood golden residences, atop which shone crystal watchtowers crowned with golden pots. Thus the buildings were multi-storied. The word vastu indicates that the houses and buildings were structured on ample plots of land with plenty of room for green areas. Lord Indra bought Sri Krishna the Sudharma assembly hall, standing within which a mortal man is not subject to the laws of mortality. Indra also gave the Parijata tree. Lord Varuna offered a horse as swift as the mind, some of which were pure dark blue, others white. The treasurer of the demigods, Kuvera, gave his 8 mystic treasures, and the rulers of various planets each presented their own opulences. Purport: Srila Sridhar Swami comments as follows on this verse. The master of the treasury is Kuvera, and the 8 treasures are his nidhis. These are ascribed as follows. Padmas Jaiva Mahapadmo Matsukur Matatau Dokaha Nilo Mukunda Sankascha Nidayo Stau Prakirtata. The 8 mystic treasures are called Padma, Mahapadma, Matsya, Kurma, Audaka, Nila, Mukunda, and Sankha. The Supreme Lord, having come to the earth, O King, these demigods now offered him whatever powers of control he had previously delegated to them for the exercise of their particular authority. After transporting all his subjects to the new city by the power of his mystic Yoga Maya, Lord Krishna consulted with Balaram, who had remained in Mathura to protect it. Then, wearing a garland of lotuses, but bearing no weapons, Lord Krishna went out of Mathura by its main gate. Purport: Srila Vishnu Chakravarti quotes the following verses from Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, to describe how Lord Krishna transferred the citizens from Mathura to Dwarka. Susuptan Mathurayan to Palaram Stratra Janardana Udritya Sahasara Turao Dvarkaya Nyavaishayat Prabhuda Stage Nasarve Putra Dara Samandata Haima Harmya Tale Vishta Vishmayam Paramam Yayo. In the middle of the night, as the citizens of Mathura slept, Lord Janardan suddenly removed them from that city and placed them in Dwarka. When the men awoke, they were all amazed to find themselves, their children, and their wives sitting inside palaces made of gold. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, in the 10th canto, 50th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Establishes the City of Dwarka. So, the story of Jarasandha. It's told here, and he attacked 17 times. The 18th time, and then simultaneously, Kalayavana attacked. So it's explained here how then Krishna thought, well, but we can't have two people attacking us at once. That's very dangerous. So he built another city in Dwarka on an island in the ocean or the sea. And in that, and by his mystic power, he transferred all the citizens of Mathura to Dwarka while they were sleeping at night. And when they woke up in the morning, they were found there in Dwarka. This was, you say, an arrangement by the Lord for his pastimes. We see that Krishna has pastimes in Vrindavan, then he had pastimes in Mathura, and then finally he had pastimes in Dwarka. So this was the excuse for going to Dwarka because of the attack of Kalayavana simultaneous with Jarasandha. So he built that city, and after the fight with Jarasandha and Kalayavana, then he actually moved himself to Dwarka after putting all the citizens there. And from that time onwards then, nobody in Mathura, and everybody was in Dwarka after that point. So, here we have how Krishna is planning everything out, and we see how he didn't allow Balaram to kill Jarasandha the first time, even though he was defeated. He let him go with the idea that by Jarasandha again attacking and again attacking, then Krishna would be able to destroy all of the different enemy troops. So we see how many, many times Jarasandha came, and all of his soldiers were killed. Then he went back. And then he gathered new troops. And then he came again, and they were all killed. And then they sent him back again. And then he got new troops, and then they were killed. So 17 times he got all of these millions and millions of soldiers together, and each time they were annihilated. So this was a plan of Krishna to annihilate all the demoniac forces without having to go out of Mathura. So that plan was okay. And then we have the 18th time, then Kalayavana also attacked. So the story is quoted from Vishnu Purana, how Kalayavana became very powerful by getting his benediction. His foes would be the Yadus. They would be people who would be capable of fighting with him. So he rushed to Mathura to fight with them, and particularly with Krishna and Balaram. So we have two forces, the forces gathered by Jarasandha, plus Kalayavana and his forces. So again, of course, Krishna had a plan, and that's told in the next chapters. And then finally, of course, even after Jarasandha was defeated, etc., there was a few demons left. So Krishna remained in Dwarka killing those demons. So it was mentioned how the earth had a burden of all the sinful kings, and therefore the Lord was thinking of how to relieve the earth of that burden. So the burden was partly the sinful activities that were encouraged by those kings, and there, of course, their bad conduct. And of course, because of this, the proliferation of the sinful activities and encouragement of those activities, bhakti was minimized, suppressed. We see how Kamsa, of course, even suppressed the brahmanas and whatever from doing sacrifices, etc., because the brahmanas were favorable to Vishnu. So by attacking the brahmanas, then he thought he could harm
Vishnu. So he'd attack the Brahmanas. So not only the devotees, but everything connected with Dharma was attacked by these different kings. But especially, Krishna is attracted to devotion. And though the pretext was restore Dharma, and such, as I mentioned previously, the highest Dharma is bhakti. So that's even more important to the Lord, that he restore devotion, that he protect the devotees of the Lord. Now here we have devotees, we have the Yadus, many of whom are Nitya Siddhas, but they're devotees of the Lord, Jivas, who are eternally with the Lord, but they are endangered by these demoniac forces all the time. So the Lord not only wants to kill the demons, but his other motive is protect the devotees, to encourage the devotees and to display his affection for his devotees. So we see how Krishna was very considerate. He was thinking, well, if I go out and we fight with these demons, then we're fighting, then the other demon, either Jarasandha or Kaliyavana, will attack the city while we're fighting, and then all of the Yadus will get harmed. So he didn't want that to happen. He is their protector. And therefore, he made up this plan of transferring most of the people to Dwarka. And only the he and Balaram and some other his close soldiers would be there in Mathura. Because of his consideration for the devotees. Later on we see, of course, it was in Dwarka. Dwarka was also attacked several times by persons like Salvia, etc. And eventually, all the demons were annihilated. So Krishna had promised the people of Vrindavan that I have to stay because I have to protect the Yadus and I have to kill those demons. But after the demons are killed, then there's no problem for protecting the Yadus. So then I can return to Vrindavan. So his killing the demons was also, we can say, necessary thing. But after he had done that, then he could actually satisfy the people of Vrindavan again. So killing the demons also had another purpose. By killing them, then he would be able to keep his promise to the people of Vrindavan, return there, and give them great satisfaction. So in this way, he would please the devotees of Vrindavan. It's also explained that he really wanted to avoid danger to the people of Vrindavan. So that is another reason why he moved everything over to Dwarka. So that in the future they would attack Dwarka. He was worried that they would attack Mathura, then they would attack Vrindavan. So therefore he moves the battle away to Dwarka, which is further away from Vrindavan. So this was out of consideration for the people of Vrindavan, how he protected those people. And of course we can see that also, why did he go to Mathura in the first place? To kill Kamsa. And why do you want to kill Kamsa? Of course, because Kamsa was attacking the, persecuting the Yadus, but it was also a danger for the people of Vrindavan. He had sent demons there previously, and it was if he knew that Krishna was there, then he would attack the people there, and they would be harmed. So, even as going to Mathura, had a double role: one, satisfy and protect the Yadus, and the other is protect the people of Vrindavan. So I was going to Dwarka was also for that purpose as well, to help the people of Vrindavan. And after he had killed all the demons, and there were no more demons, and everyone was safe, then he could go back to Vrindavan and unite with the people there, and satisfy them, and of course keep his promise. So the actions of Krishna have many purposes. Some of the purposes are external that are. That is, destroy a dharma, establish dharma, put the proper kings in place, etc. And then others are internal, to satisfy his devotees in various ways. So, of the two, giving joy to the devotees is actually the greater of the two things. Because we see that ultimately the unique quality of bhakti is that it brings Krishna under control. And so the greater the devotees, then the more the Krishna wants to serve them. So the Yadus and the people of Vrindavan are the greatest devotees. And therefore, he's completely controlled by them and he'll do anything for them. So that's his greatest purpose. And to do that, then he may kill the demons or whatever. So that's the secondary purpose. The main thing is, main motive is to give pleasure to his devotees, to nourish his devotees, to protect his devotees. It's mainly the devotees. And everything else follows from that. Of course, we have what we can say are the secondary devotees, in the sense that people who are following the Varnashram system and Dharma, etc., in a sense, are also devotees, and therefore the Lord is obligated to them, as he is obligated to the Brahmanas, etc. So we find several places in the Bhagavatam, for instance, in the story of Jai and Vijay there, and then he begins to talk about the Brahmanas, because the Kumaras are Brahmanas. Brahmacharis. So they had cursed the doorkeepers. So then Vishnu says, well, I can always have to work on to the Brahmanas to fulfill their curse. And then he recites some verses of how one has to give proper respect to the Brahmanas. And then later in the Bhagavatam also, and considering the story of King Nirga, etc., again, there's a whole section there on how one has to honor the Brahmanas, etc. And that's a very great duty that the Lord performs. Protection of Dharma and the Brahmanas and the whole system is another part of the Lord's attraction to devotion, because in that system there should be some devotion. But those who are real devotees of the Lord, that is even a stronger attraction for the Lord. So Dharma is fine. The Lord's attracted to it. He's attracted to the Brahmanas and everything. But even greater than that, he's attracted to the Vaishnava, to the devotee of the Lord, one who's wholeheartedly a devotee and completely surrendered in all cases. So here in the 10th canto, we have many illustrations of how the Lord is completely dedicated to the devotees and does everything for them. So here we see how Krishna is considering how to protect the Yadus and their families. So therefore, he takes them out of Mathura and transfers them to Dwarka for their protection. It's described here that by his power of Yoga Maya, that special power, somehow or other, they woke up in the morning and they were in Dwarka. Everyone was in Dwarka. Millions of people suddenly ended up in Dwarka. And Mathura was empty. So the Lord has all powers, and by his potency he can do what is impossible for anyone else. And suddenly he can transfer everybody. And they're not even aware that this has taken place. So the Lord can do this by his extraordinary power. So, Yoga Maya is a particular Shakti of the Lord, which is like ignorance. So there's no ignorance for the Nityasiddha devotees, and not no ignorance in relation to the Lord, but there is a type of ignorance there in the spiritual world by which the devotees are not aware of things. So here's one case. Suddenly they woke up and they were in Dwarka and they didn't know how they got there. The Lord knew because he did it, but they didn't know anything. Suddenly they're surprised, they woke up in the morning and they're in Dwarka. How did it happen? They don't know. They didn't see it happen. So that's a type of ignorance. That's caused by this yogamaya. Due to yogamaya, certain aspects of reality are hidden from the devotees. So this is not material ignorance caused by fault of the jiva. This is a shakti of the Lord, internal shakti of the Lord, spiritual energy, for his pastimes, that he will do certain things and hide certain things from the devotees. And this adds to the rasa, the taste. In this case, the devotees, they get great astonishment. Suddenly waking up and they're in a new place, not knowing how it happened. And they appreciate the power of the Supreme Lord. So this astonishment is one of the rasas, adbhuta, rasa, astonishment. How did it happen? And this is based upon their devotion to the Lord and dasya, rasa. And they have this astonishment. So this astonishment adds to their devotion because they see the great powers of the Lord. They don't know how he did this, but somehow they ended up in this wonderful city in the middle of the sea. So in this way, their devotion to Krishna increases because they understand that he has actually done this, but they don't know how he did it. The Lord uses his various shaktis in various ways during his pastimes for the pleasure of the devotees and to increase their rasa with him. And consequently, the Lord also gets great pleasure because of the devotion that is expressed by his devotees.
Is there any particular reason that Krishna chose Dwaraka?
One was because it was harder to attack because it was in the sea. More difficult for the asuras to get to Dwaraka. They would have to cross the ocean to get there.
Okay, I understand from the past time that if the enemy is attacking us, if we're not able to attack the enemy back, we just move away from the place, like Krishna just went away. No need to attack the enemy. When the enemy is attacking us, if we find some difficult situation, just keep quiet and go back. Can we understand from this past time?
Where?
Like Krishna just took all the Mathura vases to avoid Jarasandha.
But he fought. But he transferred the citizens away for their protection. That's all he did. It's not that he was unaware. Of course, later on, we see that he walked away from the battle as well. Kaliyadava was pursuing him. He was just running away also. But that was also a certain plan of his. So generally, the Kshatriya should fight. So he did fight, but he transferred the citizens to another place. And then, of course, strategically, he also moved there afterwards. But he never avoided the fight.
It was called Ranchur for this past name.
From fleeing from Kaliyavana.
But as we see, this Krishna excuses Jarasandha 18 times, correct? And after every time, excusing and Jarasandha's attacking, there is a proverb that, that one should not excuse any enemy, because if you excuse any enemy and he will attack again, it might get some problem. The same thing happened for even Jayadratha also.
Mm-hmm.
So how this statement is true? But Krishna is giving chance here again and again to Jarasandha.
Why he does is so that he could get all his troops together and then Krishna could kill them all. So he could get all the asat people, all of the impious people, and kill them all without having to go anywhere. So that's why he did it.
How is it applicable in the material world? Means if someone creates some problem, that he said that you have to forgive, but he said he might create again problem.
Well, in the material world, this may or may not be the system, depending on the situation. Because Krishna is all knowledgeable, then his plans are infallible. But in the material world, it could go either way. Out of mercy, we can let a person go. And then, of course, he may attack again and cause more problem or whatever. In the case of Krishna, no problem, because he can defeat them in any case. So no matter how many troops he brings, he can kill them all.
So what about this Kalayana? Some people said that he is a Muslim, something like that.
I don't think it's ever said like that. A Muslim, there were no Muslims there. Muslim arrived only after so many years.
But that second camp, this Kirada, Punandara, Punandapurika, there is a Muslim. Yavana. Yavana is a Muslim.
Oh, the Yavanas. Yavanas. Well, obviously refers to a place more than a particular religion. People of that particular place.
And what about this monastery? See, you know, this Krishna took all...
I think it's often identified with the Greeks. Often with the Greeks. Greeks, not Muslims.
Yavana is Greek.
Yeah, Greeks. It's translated that often.
Yeah. What about this monastery? Krishna took all the bhajanas from Mathura to Vrindavan, Dwaraka. That time this Mathura is completely empty. Same thing happened in Vrindavan also when Krishna disappeared. The Vrindavan also was completely empty. No one was there.
When?
When Krishna disappeared with all the bhajanas going to spiritual this upper Kata Lila.
The upper Kata Lila.
So then now we see many bhajanas as well as Mathura was also. From where they came, actually, after that.
What's that?
We see some Brajavasis and Mathuravasis also. From where they came afterwards?
When?
After Krishna disappeared,
there's not real Brajavasis, those are just modern material body people, then. They're not the Yadus, they're not the Brajavasis like Nanda and Yasoda, they're just people who live there in the material world.
Initially, it was like a forest type, you know, after those people started living. It was forest, and because its place was completely empty.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to Mathura also.
Well, it continued as a city. I think the Buddhists occupied it later on.
Buddhists.
Mm-hmm. It became quite powerful as a Buddhist center at one time, in about 1,000 years ago or so. 1,500 years ago, yeah.
Раз, если смотреть на